You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the over-the-hill gaming podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
It's March 12th, 2026, and welcome to episode 175 of Midlife Side Quest, the over-the-hill video game podcast. I am your host, John Wall, and every Thursday morning I bring you 15 minutes of video game impressions, industry news, and tales of a Gen X geek. Thank you very much for tuning into the program this morning. On this week's show, I'm going to be talking about Resident Evil Requiem. But first, let's check the headlines from this week. And if anybody was worried that the recent changes in Xbox leadership would lead to them getting out of the hardware business and going full third party, it doesn't look like that's going to be happening. At least, not yet. CEO Asha Sharma has announced not only that their next console is being referred to as codename Helix internally, but that rumors of it being a console-PC hybrid were correct. In the statement, they said that the next-generation hardware would, quote, lead in performance, and it would also play both Xbox and PC games. There was also an internal town hall with Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella, where he reiterated their commitment, saying, quote, "For me, we're long on gaming. We'll continue to invest, and we'll always do so." And at GDC this week, they have shared some hints, some more information with their partners, and there are banners at the show with the phrase, "Build for what's next, the future of Xbox starts now." So they clearly aren't planning on ditching consoles yet, but what will their plan be, and can it be successful? Well, it seems like they're going with the strategy of if their console isn't going to be the only place to play Xbox games, they'll make sure that it's the best place to play them. A new report from tech site Moore's Law is Dead says that they expect the next Xbox to be more powerful than the upcoming PS6 and that it's going to cost in the neighborhood of $1,000. Which really, you know, might be their best and maybe only move, assuming that they aren't going to back off of their multi-platform strategy. It's going to be tough to sell this thing to the more mainstream audience. And I guess if you go into this with the knowledge that you're likely only going to be selling this to the most, you know, devoted of Xbox fans, you might as well just go all in and give them what they want. As long as they're okay with this thing selling closer to, you know, Steam Deck numbers as opposed to competing directly with PlayStation. Ago this month, Capcom and director Shinji Mikami unleashed Resident Evil on the world. The survival horror game for the PlayStation 1 was heavily inspired by the zombie films of George Romero, and the series has gone on to sell over 170 million copies. It's been adapted into novels, comic books, 7 live-action movies, a bunch of animated films. Heck, there was even a stage play in Japan for a while. It is without a doubt one of the most successful and recognizable video game series of all time. And in a lot of ways, this latest game, Resident Evil Requiem, feels like a tribute to that history. It plays like a greatest hits collection, borrowing elements from some of the series' most popular entries. And for the first time in decades, the story returns to where it all began, the streets of Raccoon City. It starts, though, with Grace Ashcroft, a young FBI analyst assigned to investigate a series of unexplained deaths that seem to be somehow connected to the events in Raccoon City. She's sent to the town of Renfield to check out the latest victim, whose body just happens to have been found in the very same hotel where Grace's mother, Alyssa, was murdered years earlier. Now, I'm no expert, but I feel like if my boss assigned me to go work at the same place where my mother was brutally killed, we'd be having a meeting upstairs with HR. Also, if the name Alyssa Ashcroft sounds familiar to you at all, congratulations, you have played a lot of Resident Evil games and you've been paying attention. So not long after arriving at the scene, it becomes clear that her being sent to this hotel was no coincidence, and it's more than just a violation of the FBI's safe and respectful workplace policy. What happened to her mother 8 years ago is very much connected to the string of deaths. Grace just needs to figure out how. Then we switch over to Leon Kennedy, Raccoon City survivor and winner of 2024's Sexiest Bioterrorism Agent Over 40 Award. He's also investigating the mysterious deaths, but he's doing it with a smoldering glare and shirts that he apparently outgrew back in high school. Capcom really knows what they're doing here. My kids don't really have any knowledge of this series, but when I mentioned that I was going to be playing it, my daughter asked, "Is that the one with that hot guy, Leon Kennedy?" Yeah, word's gotten out to the kids. So you'll swap back and forth between Grace and Leon throughout the campaign at designated story moments, and the two playstyles are very different. Leon's segments play like the more action-packed entries in the series, like RE4 or 5. He's got more ammo, bigger guns, a crazy fireman's axe to bury into zombie skulls, and lots of super cheesy one-liners to spout off as he fights. It's not Resident Evil 6, you know, punching a boulder with your fists crazy, but it's pretty over the top. His parts of the game are also much shorter, which makes sense considering how, like, action-packed they are. They also give you the choice to switch between first and third person perspectives, but I chose to stay with the default, third person for Leon and first person for Grace. And Grace's parts of the game are definitely my favorite and play much more like RE7. While she's an FBI agent, she's not a superhero. She's a young analyst who's also still traumatized by what happened at the hotel 8 years ago, so she's pretty freaked out by everything that's happening. She's always trying to calm herself down, and her hands will even sometimes shake when she's aiming her pistol. It's honestly, like, kind of refreshing to see someone act in a realistic way to what's going on. Watching a giant monster bite the head off of a zombie isn't normal, and you should have a panic attack when you see that. Her segments are also much more resource limited. You'll need to conserve ammo and be careful about how you approach each encounter. Choosing whether or not to flee or attack can be critical. You can also craft ammo and items, but again, those resources are scarce, so you need to choose wisely when to do it. Oddly, one of the resources you'll need to craft bullets is infected blood. I don't like guns, and I don't know a whole lot about them, but I don't think that's how it normally works. And playing as Grace is scary as hell. Her lack of ammo and her anxiety makes you feel very vulnerable as her, and they have really outdone themselves with some truly freaky and disturbing creatures that are hunting you down. One monster in particular is just super nasty. It looks terrifying, and it'll stalk you through the hallways, giving chase when you make any noise and crawling up into the ceiling to get behind you. You also can't kill it, so your only choice is to try and run and hide. Freaky. I hate that thing. And speaking of scary, one of my favorite little touches in the whole game is something that they've changed about the zombies. In previous games, the zombies have pretty much been, you know, nameless, mindless killing machines. But in Requiem, they present them as having some lingering sense of their former selves. So you might come across a scientist zombie who's mumbling, "I'm sorry," or entering in an office, I found a zombie in a nice suit who was on the floor choking the corpse of his secretary and saying, "You're fired." I don't know why, but this little twist, them being able to speak a little bit, makes them so much more disturbing. It's also just a flat-out gorgeous game. You know, I feel like we don't get a ton of AAA single-player games like this that aren't big, giant open worlds. So seeing those resources go into a focused experience like this, you can see it in every little detail, from the character models to the lighting and the way that the blood will stick to the walls and the ceiling when you blow a zombie's head off. It is nasty, and every bit of it is just polished, and it looks great. I'm not done with the game yet. I feel like I'm getting pretty close. I sense that I'm kind of on the back half of it. I could honestly see this being one of my favorite Resident Evil games of all time. It's at least, I think, the most fun I've had since Resident Evil 4. It plays great. It looks amazing. It is scary as hell. And it introduces some great new characters and monsters to the Resident Evil universe. One of the metrics that I use to determine if a game is great is if my wife tells me not to play it unless she's home so she can watch. And both Christina and Charlie have insisted on watching the whole thing with me. This will definitely be on my top 10 list this year. You know what? It's been a while since we've done told some dad jokes. Yeah, everybody likes dad jokes. Let's tell some jokes. So this week, my wife gave birth to our child. After the delivery, I pulled the doctor aside and I asked him, "How soon can we have sex?" He said, "I'm off in 15 minutes. Meet me in the parking lot." My kid was chewing on electrical cords, so I had to ground him. Why do gas stations charge you to fill up your tires? Inflation. My wife said that quilts are better than duvets. I told her to be careful about making blanket statements like that. If a cow can't produce milk, is it a milk dud or an utter failure? I like to throw soy sauce at people when they're sad. Kick a man while he's down. That one's stupid. For my birthday this year, I can only celebrate for half a minute. It's my 32nd birthday. I told the nurse at the ER that I was bitten by a wolf. "Where?" she asked. "No, regular." Thank you for listening to Midlife SideQuest. I apologize. I appreciate you making time in your day to hang out with me. You can catch a new episode of the show every Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts, and you can support the show by subscribing and leaving a review. So until next time, I am your host, John Wall. Have a great rest of your week, and don't forget to save.